It's hour one of the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks. Welcome to Future Tuesday. Beautiful here in Santa Cruz today. Like 80 degrees out there.
I couldn't believe it. We came down from Boulder Creek and I was wearing a coat. And down here, people were wearing bathing suits.
I know, right? It's like summertime here. It's awesome. It's
gorgeous. Wow. Yeah,
we just
got
to convince Michael
Santa
to
Cruz.
Move the studio out onto the deck out here and we'll be flying.
Yeah, really. Hey, let's get some wireless mics and speakers and hey, take the show on the road, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the main thing would be sound isolation. Once we get that down, then we'll be good outside.
Yeah, you don't want to bring in the sounds of the lagoon. Maybe some birds.
You know, a little ambient bird sound stuff might be good for our show.
It's very good for our show. We love technology a lot, but we forget how much more we love nature that we're made of.
You think maybe we should combine the two?
Yeah, I do. I don't think we should leave out anything
thought,
wonderful.
Mrs. Future.
All wonderful things
combining
included.
Technology and nature?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, what did you do this weekend?
I combined some healing technologies with my nature, and
healing
I feel great. I was at the Love of Life Institute, which is founded by...
Love of Life Institute?
Yes. Founded by one of our local healing geniuses, Amora Grace, and her staff, or not a staff, but really a collection of co-founders of...
Coterie.
A healing network, I guess you'd call it. Amora is on a mission to share the wonderful healing gifts of Santa Cruz with as many people as possible. And so I got invited because she's looking to create a reality TV show.
So your profound tech skills will apply to the healing circle.
Yeah. And of course, people can produce their own TV shows in a way that has never before been possible. I mean, you can produce a TV show with your phone if you're smart enough, you know? So the costs have come way down. So people can really focus on the content of what they have to share. I just want to give a little plug to the Love of Life Institute. I think everybody should go check it out. There's a Love of Life Institute page on
website?
Facebook.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. On Facebook.
Yeah, you can go to Facebook, and from there, there's a link to the website, and you can get a clue of what she's all about and meet some of the practitioners. Also, I wanted to just share something fun going on. One of the practitioners is a most beloved member of our community, Christopher Love Dearheart, and he is putting together a community-focused event that I think people would really like to know about and be a part of.
A community-focused event. Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, let me get it here.
What aspect of the community are we talking about here?
We are talking about the Nurture event, Food for the Body, Mind, and Spirit. So Christopher has been doing these events, you know, pretty much quarterly down at Divinitry pretty often, where he brings together some musicians and some dancers and some healers, and they create an incredible day of just cross-pollinating different kinds of local wholeness practices.
And Divinitry is one of their places where they hold these events. Divinitry, for the uninitiated, is...
Divinitry is a local gathering place, which I guess is now located out there in the Wrigley building. There's room for about 108 people to gather for different kinds of community events.
108? So, really?
Yeah.
Isn't that the number of beads on a mala?
I think that number was chosen very consciously by the spiritual adepts here in Santa Cruz. But anyway, I just wanted to announce that the next Nurture event for our community, and these things do always sell out, and so, you know, you just want to have it on your calendar. On February 20th, there will be a Nurture event with Christopher, with Dearheart Christopher Love and his collection of healers, musicians, artists, and wonderful beings.
And kirtan type stuff, right?
Yeah, they do a certain amount of trancing and dancing and chanting and all that good stuff, but it's so much more. Definitely, they cater to the tastes of the people who show up, and it's a very high vibration crowd.
Nice. So. Well, you certainly came home pretty beaming.
I feel that way. I just feel like I crossed over. I was really succumbing to a lot of the winter angst. And of course, being a media person, it's almost like the media has decided that there's nothing to stay hopeful about, that there's havoc everywhere, the people can't trust each other, the races have never been further apart. I mean, there's just this nonsense being broadcast in our media that doesn't match my reality at all.
Well, that's why you live in Santa Cruz, right?
But I think a lot of people find
even
the media
here,
just making
listening.
Stuff
well,
up.
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of people we know don't even listen
yeah.
to television and radio.
Yeah, thank goodness the internet has fragmented people's media inputs so that we can really tune into our own message. Because I think the time to choose the future is always now. Mm. And you have to remember that you can always choose heaven or hell.
At each moment.
Every moment. So the fact that a bunch of people are selling hell, all you have to do is not buy it. Just go the other direction.
Yeah, what I've noticed is how close the heaven and hell worlds live to each other.
Oh, yeah. Interpenetrated.
It's really up to you,
yeah.
pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. So look around close to home and tune into those things that make you smile. Tune into those things that lift your heart, that lift your spirits, that make you feel connected. And you can't miss. That will take you to heaven.
It reminds me of a bumper sticker. It's suffering is being in the wrong place at the wrong time. You're suffering. Move.
Move. That's good advice.
One way or another, mentally or physically.
That's right. Get out of the way of that train wreck. It's not for you.
Yeah.
It's somebody else's train wreck.
Well, certainly Santa Cruz is full of healers, mm-hmm. and it would really be remiss of us not to take advantage of that, because we all need healing in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly to find the ones that we relate to is the key. Because
yeah.
there really is quite a plethora of healers in our species, way beyond what is official established healing practices.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool that we're in an area where there's literally a renaissance in healing.
In healing, right here in Santa Cruz, we are the pulse of the world here. If it works here, they want it everywhere. Anyway, it's time for us to go to a quick break. So stay tuned, everybody, in the Bay Area on this beautiful day. And Dr. Future and Mrs. Future will be right back. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show on this beautiful day. We've had to be real time with our show today as we had a cancellation yesterday at the last minute.
Yeah, and I'm kind of thinking it was perfect that we had a cancellation.
Yes, in hindsight, you can see the perfection of it.
Yeah, yeah. Our guest was a little bit in the dark and scary world, more so than we like to hang out.
Well, it's an important topic nonetheless, and that's mm-hmm. why I brought him in. Mark Goodman had written a book called Future Crimes. And he is an ex-cop and also now a security consultant on a governmental level for trying to protect the world from the evolution of cybercrime and beyond. So we're going to reschedule him, bring him on later. He is a New York Times bestseller on the topic. It's an important area. However, it is not what the universe wanted us to do today.
No. The universe had other plans for the future today.
So it turns out, for us tech heads, this is important to remember, that next weekend is Valentine's Day.
Oh, you remembered. How sweet.
Well, I got knocked on the head with this one. In terms of my guest for the show here. So, yes, I remembered. Thank you. And for this, you might be wondering what to do that might be special or unusual for Valentine's Day. And one of the things...
I know you're talking to all those gentlemen out there who
yes.
are looking to impress the ladies.
If it's in the cards, you know, mm-hmm. something to play with. There is a local phenomenon called What is Erotic that's been going on for like 13 years in Santa Cruz.
Yes, one of our favorite local theater experiences that is experiencing a little growth this year. Many years
over the
in the making. You don't want to tell them.
San Jose.
You don't want to call
San Jose.
What is Erotic over the hill?
No. Well, what is Erotic is like.
Well, actually, I don't know. Maybe for our crowd. But no, I know you didn't mean to say that.
No. It does apply to the younger set typically, but you know, eroticism can go on until.
Hey, as long as you can feel it, you can heal it, and it can be real fun.
And there you go. It's part of the healing process.
Yes. Yes. So, if it feels good, do it. And anyway, What is Erotic has, for the first time, opened up a show on the San Jose side of the hill.
Yeah,
right?
That's a better way of saying
They're going to a new venue. They're the new kids in town.
What should we say?
And that's what they're doing on Valentine's Day this year. Yeah. So it's a one night only San Jose show, I think, right? We'll get Laura and her cohorts to tell us the details, but you can still see it in Santa Cruz, but not on Valentine's Day. But you can see it before Valentine's Day and after Valentine's Day at the 418.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll find out all about that in the second hour. And I think she's bringing in the lap dance choreographer.
I bet you can't wait.
I'm just wondering what that job is.
Well, stay tuned, folks. Okay. We're going to give you a radio tour of the lap dance coordinator's plans for What Is Erotic.
That's it. Are we making this up? No.
No, you cannot make this stuff up.
You can, but
you can have
this
more
wasn't.
Fun. So,
yeah,
no, this is in the realm of fantasy. This mm-hmm. is definitely where fantasy meets reality.
Yes, and our community is very famous for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What point in having an imagination if you're not using it?
I was having fun this weekend. While you were getting healed, mm-hmm. I was rewiring our living room and doing all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah.
And taking it beyond our home theater and bringing in a 40 terabyte NAS, network attack storage. 40 terabytes allows you to have years of footage available on your desktop or your laptop or your tablet wirelessly. So we have archives available on any of our devices.
You seem so happy.
It's amazing. It's like what it does for your memory is remarkable. If you have all your pictures, all the stuff that you have of your past available at your fingertips anytime you want it, it's like better than biological memory. Well, mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that. It's biological memory is really good. Don't get me wrong. But this collaborates very well with biological memory to help enhance experiences.
Yeah, well, as we talked about last week, the nervous system creates the networks, the neural networks of memory through repetition.
Yeah.
Like the more times the signal goes through your neurons, the more likely you are to remember it. So having your recordings of images and sounds and videos as your memories allows you to relive them and keep many more of them with you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And reframe your understanding of what happened to you in the past. Anyway, that's a whole topic. I was fixating that whole thing up. On one side of the room, the Super Bowl was going on another, on the big screen with the commercials.
Oh, boy. So you were in the past, you were in the present.
And then
you
over
were in the
on
future.
Another workstation, I was working on editing a drone video, you know, which has really got my attention because I just got my Fat Shark Dominator H2 glasses today.
Just in the mail on the way to the studio. Yeah.
Now, these are glasses that you wear as you fly the drone. So it's called FPV or first person view.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, it is the first virtual reality that's hitting mainstream before even Oculus Rift.
Mm-hmm.
Really exciting.
So what do you think are my chances of becoming a Fat Shark widow?
Well, no, I get two pairs of glasses and you can wear one.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're going to take me with you?
I'm
going to be your Fat Shark passenger?
Yeah.
And
yeah, you'll be
so
up there.
That's so nice. We're going to fly together in
this,
VR.
This allows your eyes to be the drone's eyes as it flies. And you can move your head back and forth and forward and control the drone. So you don't even need to use a joystick only for navigation.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually use body movement.
Oh, it navigates?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. No, this is different than just watching a VR movie. You are a flying drone and you control its altitude. You control its speed. You control everything.
Wow.
You can dive. You can barrel roll. And it's like you really are doing it. You move your head motions to do that kind of thing. And it's not a virtual world. It's reality. They use analog video because digital video is too slow.
Right.
So that latency delay on that.
So you can't have the live drone flying experience over the internet because of the latency, right?
Yeah.
You need it you need radio frequencies right there where
you
are.
Need real time. That was what's good with analog television and video is that it's real time. Speed of light, practically.
Interesting.
All we need is 200 milliseconds or less, and the nervous system is happy, and it thinks it's us.
Right.
That's what we want to do, trick the brain into seeing this as another sense for us.
And so radio frequency, this is kind of like retro future, because like radio, right, was the big deal 100 years ago. Nobody ever knew that radio frequencies were permeating the environment. And now radio is kind of almost obsolete because there's so many other frequencies that we're using to get our messages back and forth. And yet, for the ultimate real-time virtual experience,
you got to go back to analog radio and television.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, only for a little while. I mean, we'll figure this out. We'll get the latency delay down on digital.
Yeah, I noticed you have an article.
I'm sure the military's already figured this out.
Well, what about this this NASA article? NASA is using a new kind of
technology. We're going, yeah. And NASA's busy wiring the internet, not just for the planet, but for the solar system. They're putting together a whole solar system internet. And it's all based on photon modems, you know, modems that use light instead of radio frequency.
Wow.
You know, I have a big article on that.
Yeah, I think it's something like between 10 and 100 times faster.
Yeah, we have like 185 craft out there in the solar system exploring it. And they need to stay in contact and they'd be able to send bigger and bigger files to us, you know, bigger video, bigger data about volcanic activities going on some of the moons of Jupiter, for example.
Bigger data from further away.
So
we don't want this big clunky radio frequencies in space clogging the airwaves, so we're going to use lasers instead.
Well, yeah, you got a speed of light. You know, it's a little bit faster. I mean, even that's slow. It takes 8 minutes to get to the sun, 20 minutes to get to Mars.
You think that's slow, huh?
It's really slow.
Dr. Future, you have very high expectations.
20 minutes to Mars? Come on.
Yeah, you think speed of thought goes faster? Fifth dimension? It's like snap your hands, be there now.
I'll tell you what, 20 milliseconds. I'll settle for 20 milliseconds.
From where do you want to be in 20 milliseconds?
Mars. I think that's more reasonable.
Uh-huh.
Because then your body thinks you're there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 20 milliseconds is how long your nervous system takes for when you think of, say, moving your hand and it moves.
How do you know 20 milliseconds is the magic number?
I've been talking to people, man. I'm Dr. Future. I have access.
So is this coming from the other article that you have here about the test?
No, I knew this. I knew this for a while. If you really want to know about the 20 millisecond thing, Zoe.
Our drone pilot.
Yeah, she knows. She flies drones all the time and racing drones. And so
20 milliseconds is the latency delay for the RF monitor of your drone flight.
You move your head, the drone moves. It's got to be 20 milliseconds or less. And then your body thinks it's real.
Wow.
You see, that's the
Philip K. Dick point. Yeah, otherwise it would be kind of like the bumper cars at the boardwalk where you kind of like turn the wheel and then you wait for the car to like get that you're turning the wheel and then it starts turning the wheel.
Yeah, you can't have latency delay. Like, it's the same with the musicians. They can't have delays when they move their instrument and then it takes a second before you hear anything. It doesn't work.
Pretty hard to sync up with the other musicians if you're all waiting for a latency.
So a lot of human activity requires this real-time feeling, and that's, you know, it doesn't have to be real time. It has to be the speed of our nervous system. 20 milliseconds. You know, 20 would be really good.
20 what?
20 milliseconds. 200. I'll settle for that. Okay. Woo! Well, I'm fast today, honey.
Yeah. So this fat shark goggles.
So I was
really
working on the video. Yeah, that's on another screen in the living room. I was working on that. The Super Bowl was on, and the NAS was being fed with more data from 1988. Because in case you don't know, I have been a video aficionado for a very long time, since 1972. And since 1988, I've recorded every event I've been at, much like people have in their phones today. But my record just goes back a little further in time.
You are a time traveler, man.
So all these things are going into the NAS, so my digital life will be available. Interesting, huh?
Time for break. We'll be back after the CBS News Dr. Future Show. Stay tuned.
Okay, we're back. As a matter of fact, I think our home studio will probably be a place where we'll be doing both television and radio stuff.
Yeah, we've been getting ready for how many years now?
Well, we have been. The element of going live, I think that's the next big jump.
That's true.
Since Skype.
Really, and it's really interesting how it's full circle, because as videographers, you know, in the early 90s, we were totally live. Our big thing was just how to connect up all of the different inputs so that we could get a mix up to the screen.
Yeah, we had to do that at concerts.
At concerts and live shows, right? And as I recall, the first couple of years, the hardest thing for us to do was to remember to record it at the end of the line. So we're doing this great live show and everybody's hypnotized by the mix, and then we have no recording. So now it's all recorded, and we have these years and years of recorded history that are our memories, and now we want to bring it back to live
into the present. Right. Yes. So all that creative stuff. Actually, you know what's interesting is that there was a period in the early 90s when we started to have interactive media, CD-ROMs, came in. Actually, people were starting to get computers.
Yeah, once you could click on something and have it do something, that became like
two-way. Yeah,
become
interactive. Remember on the Macintosh side, we had HyperCard and HyperCard stacks.
Sure. Yeah,
those were fun. That kind of concept in the 88, 89 time period. That was big.
Yeah, it was huge. Because it made programming simple enough for people to learn it kind of in their spare time. You could learn it in an afternoon.
It taught me about the zoom function of looking at stuff. For example, powers of 10 became a normal type of way of portraying information.
Yeah.
If you wanted to look into like an animal, you would just click on down into its nose or its foot or whatever, and you know, you'd get to see it.
Yeah.
So the kind of zooming through things became normal.
Yeah.
Before that, I don't think it really was very much a shared experience in our media.
Hmm.
The only one I can think of is Powers of 10 with Carl Sagan on the Johnny Carson show on the late 70s, where he showed a couple sitting on a blanket by a lake in Chicago. And at one point you start zooming out and you keep zooming out away so that it sees smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller until you see the whole solar system.
First you see the map of the park they're in, then you see like the city, and then you see the country and the planet.
Yeah, exactly.
On out to
the
universe.
Powers of 10, it was called. And that was the first time I saw that kind of idea. But the HyperCard stack took that to another level in the 89, where it became much more interactive and you could design it. You could create the layers by which you wanted to see. And then it would continue to evolve into CD-ROMs, and then it became all digital, which is where it's at now, and then you have much more dynamic interactive speed. So now it's possible to do interactive things over a distance, and so such things that we dreamed about back then, like two musicians or three or four musicians jamming together on a virtual stage while actually in their home studios, becomes a reality. See, now is the time.
As long as their connectivity is,
is real
as long
time.
As their throughput is such that they can meet up in cyberspace and sync up.
Where their nervous systems feel like they're jamming together. It's all about the nervous system.
And the synapses.
Yeah.
The synapses is where
the speed of the nervous
system. Transmission meets the receiver.
And then people will do what they do, which is to create great music and hang out together. And great people will be able to hang out with each other independent of space and time. Well, space, they'll still be in the same time together.
Yeah.
But and, that's you know, the magic happens.
People have always been saying, well, why are you so interested in things that are far away instead of the things that are right under your nose, you know? But if you look at it from the point of view of just having more options and being able to include more of what you want, there's no reason to sacrifice having things right here in your real-time space. You just get to add another layer of bringing in more things from far away as well, because we have this whole new neural net through the technology.
Yeah, I guess you could say radio is kind of like that.
Sure.
Right? So you hear our voices in your houses or cars or wherever, out on the beach, hopefully.
Yeah, and, right. So we're transmitting, and at KSCO, of course, is one of the few places where it's totally a two-way street, where if you hear us and you want to call in and talk to us and be part of the show, all you got to do is pick up the phone or whatever your access point is.
That's it. 479-1080.
479-1080. And you can be part of, you can close the loop here, you know?
And we're going to try to amp up the party a little bit, especially in the second hour. Did we have Joe on earlier?
Well, you know, I guess he got distracted when I went to go bring him in, he was already gone. But Joe called during the break, so, you know, I guess maybe he got tired of waiting.
Okay.
Joe, if you're still listening, call in again, and we'll happily talk to you.
Let me get a little bit of the news here, too. On one of the screens, of course, I had the Super Bowl we were playing.
Yes.
And I was watching for this big Uber strike that was supposed to happen.
Oh, yes. The legendary call for Uber discontent to disrupt the smooth flow of traffic at the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Apparently, a lot of Uber drivers are disgruntled because they've reduced the cost of Uber rides and hence reducing how much money you can make as a part-time Uber driver.
Right.
You know, not good to reduce people's salaries. People don't like that.
Yeah, but passengers do. See, like the Uber. The people who use Uber all the time are relieved because, hey, you know, all of a sudden they're spending $5 less on the ride.
That's true, yeah. So. And it'll get even cheaper as they become
automatic
cars, right?
Well, we think so. I think that depends on whether it's a monopoly system or
it's automatic car. How about if you work for gas? Well, actually, you don't even use gas. Electricity, a little electricity.
We'll drive for gas.
Yeah.
That's the Uber, like, street sign, you know?
We'll take your commands for a little power. Just a little. And for opportunity to really study you closely.
Yeah. Okay. Who are you talking about? The AIs?
Well, ultimately, yes. Ultimately, you know, everyone's worried about the AIs. So let's really look at them because in the future they already exist.
Hey, we are they. The AIs would not exist without us making their networks happen, without us filling them with data, without us giving them some purpose and some problems to solve and some things to figure out. So we have to imbue them with our genuine intelligence, which includes our heart and our mind and our relationships and our intentions. You know, we can't leave that stuff out and act like all it is a bunch of nuts and bolts.
You don't want to stick your head in the sand and ignore AI? You don't want to do it? I guess not.
I would
not
survive long with my head in the sand. You know? That's like not the kind of life form that I am. Maybe there's other kinds of life forms that can succeed that way, but not me.
Yeah, that's true. And I think you're right. I think if you head in the direction of learning about them and maybe helping to design them or think about what you'd like the AIs to do, then it ultimately includes you in their evolution. And if they see you as part of their evolution, they'll probably save your
derriere. Well, let's do a little thought experiment. Say 200 years ago, engines weren't really in existence. The beginning of the 1800s, maybe the steam engine was just starting to be figured out, right? And then by the 1860s, it was so well developed that people were doing trains, they were doing boats, they were doing all kinds of mechanical transportation because they had the technology.
Yeah, it was like the gasoline motor of the time.
Right.
Steam engine.
Yeah, and you know, before then, if people wanted to take a journey on the boat, then it was wind. It was sailing. It was a whole different technology.
Yes, and that was wind, though, that got people to the New World, right? That was all wind ships.
Wind
did have its expansionist capabilities.
Wind was the power
did help
of
us
another
explore
era.
The world.
You know, I mean, in the days before petrol dollars, I mean, you know, you can imagine Columbus had like wind dollars. He went to Queen Isabella and says, "Give me sails and I will find you gold on the other side of the sea."
Yes.
Because the world is round. You know,
I mean, it was a much smaller universe when you just had to row. It was more like the Mediterranean.
That's right. We're just crossing the river, thanks. We're not going to go any further than we can see.
But then there were the great hybridists, the Vikings, who combined rowing with sails.
That's right. And they became the lords of the sea for a time. But the point is, when you go backwards and just imagine that you are one of those people looking forward and somehow you have like a telescope to the future. Mm. So these people who are boiling water and watching it blow the lid off of their pot realize that somehow that energy can be harnessed to
Cooking food faster?
Well, steam, pressure.
Steam is also the key to nuclear. Did you know that?
What do you mean?
Well, basically the nukes are used to create heat, which basically boil water.
Yeah.
That's it. So it's all comes back to steam.
That's such a disconnect.
No. Well, it's just another way of heating water. But, you know, heating water we found is really important.
That's true.
For, at least for our evolution.
That's true. Well, yeah. Okay, so let's say here we are projecting ourselves 200 years into the future.
Yes, where we have a little different form of use of energy, perhaps.
Yeah, and what we're going to be doing is putting our way around the solar system. We're going to be figuring out the equivalent of the transition from the sailing ship to the steam engine for the travel from the Earth to the Moon to Mars to Saturn to the Kuiper Belt.
I'm planning my trip to Ceres, and I'm not talking about the Mediterranean.
Right. And, you know, there are 1,000 satellites orbiting the planets, i.e. in the form of moons of Jupiter and Saturn, and even moons of some of their satellites, right?
Yeah, I was only taught there were 12 or so when I was growing up, but to find out there are hundreds of moons?
Hundreds of moons around Jupiter.
And some with heated
pools. Dozens around Saturn.
Heated pools the size of the Great Lakes?
Yeah, so there's a huge, vast frontier to explore, and we are going to come up with the technology to get there fast enough to make it doable in a person's lifetime.
Yeah, the robots will build the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if we're going into the future, it's our job to fill the people of the future and the inventions of the future with the best of our human qualities and the best of the civilization that was created for us to stand on. We have to realize that we've been given this incredible gift of billions of years of evolution compressed down to, you know, dozens of years of civilization.
We're an amazing species, an amazing intelligence, and I agree. And I think one of our biggest lessons is that it's not just about us, right? And to see that we're not the only ones. We're looking for ETs all the time, but
right. All
we have to do is really look a little closer to home. And if we're curious about other intelligences, you know, nature is a good start. There's a lot of intelligence there that we're just barely paying attention to.
Just barely. Hey, speaking of intelligence that we're just barely paying attention to, Joe from Salinas is calling in. Shall we say hi and put off the break for just another minute?
Absolutely. Right. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hi, Joe. What's up?
There he is.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Just getting the levels in. Okay, you're good.
You mentioned, well, I don't know if I'm good, but I try to be good. You mentioned intelligence. I don't know if I have much intelligence, but I try to be well-informed.
Yeah.
Well, that's a start in the right direction.
And what do you mean by informed? Like, what do you listen to for your sources of information that you can consider yourself well-informed?
First off, I go to church.
And so you have a direct connection with God?
He has a direct connection with me.
Oh, good.
And if I pay attention to him and I seek him, then that's a good start.
Okay, that is a good start, Joe. Hey, listen, I just wanted to welcome you real quick, but we do have to go to a break, so we're going to be right back. And hang tight, okay? With Dr. Future Show.
Yeah, think about what you want to share with the
telling us about intelligence here on our show. Should be fun, and we'll be right back. Back. We are back. Hello. Dr. Future, here we are. Did we want to say something real quick to Joe, who's been patiently waiting?
Joe, what would you like to share with our audience? What's the most important thing that you have on your mind?
Well, that you got God on your mind, which, good for you.
Well,
Divinity is in charge, after all.
Yeah. I mean, do you think
God is in charge? In fact, as I was waiting, I was realizing that I had come over here to Spreckles, California, and they've got St. Joseph's Catholic Church, and that's where I called you from.
Okay.
As I was waiting, I'm walking toward, they have this old store. It's right on the corner. There's a German lady. She's a good lady. She's kind of crusty. She's pretty strict. If you come in there, she might say, "What are you doing?" She's been here forever. So you might take a visit to beautiful Spreckles.
Spreckles Road and meet your friend there at the St. Joseph's Church.
All right.
Well, I don't know how long I'll be here. I got to go to the city council meeting in Salinas, so that takes some help from God to tolerate that and give me strength to endure it.
I have a good one for you, Joe. One of the big things that I picked up this weekend from Helene Rothschild, who was giving a beautiful healing workshop that was just kind of to help clear the obstacles to peace. She's working for world peace, and she wants a direct route. And what she taught me that is so beautiful is that there's really two emotions, and they are love and fear. And if we just work on, instead of the fear, give it the love, like run it through the heart and have it come out in loving ways, that does the work and it clears all the obstacles. So I thought I'd just share that with you.
Lucifer didn't have fear. He had pride. And that is the cause of...
Did Lucifer have love?
Yes, did Lucifer have love? That's a good question.
In your understanding.
Well, he was created by God.
He must have been made from love, right?
Yes, he was created by God.
Well, then, let's assume it's all for the best.
Wait a minute. At some point, he decided that he did not want to serve. That he wanted to be in control.
So that would be the creation of free will at the point when he became the devil, right? At that point, that would be the mythology.
Well, the truth is that God created him and us with free will.
And okay, well, then the free will was given to the devil and humanity?
If he chose to exercise it, but he chose the other way.
Well, you know, Joe, I have a thought of how I think this can be resolved positively, since free will is a wonderful thing. I think the main thing is, if you are exercising your free will for yourself and you are not enslaving others with your free will, then you're on the path of goodness.
We got a few other things to cover in the meantime.
Thanks for your call.
My free will must be exercised here. Changing the topic.
Take
care. Thank you.
And
thank
have you. A good city council meeting, Joe. Thanks for doing your hard work.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
yay.
I just want to say, about as far away from that topic as I can get here for the moment, is there's a new probe heading out towards Jupiter. I think it looks really interesting. Mm-hmm. It arrives on Jupiter on July 4th. And it will be spending about 10 months orbiting the planet.
Woohoo!
And, you know, as I mentioned earlier,
4th of July on Jupiter. That sounds very liberating.
Yeah. And there'll be, you know, like dozens and dozens of moons and planets that it will be exploring. And scientists will hope that we'll be able to explore these a little more closely. And one of the big mysteries is really what's inside Jupiter. Is it a solid core or is it more gas?
Wow. You know what I like? I am so happy that if we can explore the moons of Jupiter on the 4th of July, then we can have as many fireworks as we want without polluting the Earth.
It would be big. It would be big. Yeah, it's true. We could have the probes there produce these things in 8K, you know, provided we get the solar system internet working in time.
Okay.
You know, NASA is really working furiously on this. They're really working on a photonic modem right now.
Modem.
It'll allow the solar system internet to work at the speed of light.
And
it'll
folks,
help navigate the 187 probes we have out there already and facilitate better shows from all the ones that are going out.
Better shows.
Virtual reality.
In
Oculus,
our solar system.
Rift, 3D real-time views of what's going on right now in the universe.
Content
in our solar
king,
system specifically.
And the photonic
that's all right around the
channels
corner.
Channels are better than the radio channels.
I know, and just think, it was only in 1610 that Galileo first saw Jupiter and Saturn. And I was looking at Saturn, and he saw these two dots that were the rings, and it turned out they were not planets, as he thought they were rings.
So there you go. It took us 400 years from, like, our telescope tool that allowed us to see
for the first time,
the planet and its satellites, 400 years to actually get there with a probe.
To essentially being there. Actually, when 20 milliseconds, if we get down to 20 milliseconds, you are there. Your nervous system will think you are there.
First we saw
it. That's what it takes.
Then we wanted to get there.
Yeah.
Then we built the transportation systems. Now we're sending our robots. Before you know it, it's going to be Starship Enterprise vacation in space.
Here's the thing. All this allows us to move our consciousness around. So we don't actually have to move these bodies into space. We can be right here and be everywhere.
But what if we want to move these bodies in space? I mean, come on. Dancing in zero G? It sounds wonderful.
Well, you know, there are two schools
like
on
swimming.
This.
It's kind of swimming.
Do you want to take your bodies through the universe or do you want to just travel in your consciousness? What do you say, folks? Which would you prefer? We want to know.
Well, yeah, maybe we already have every sensual experience that we would find in space here, right? Maybe we don't need to go anywhere.
That's what I'm saying.
We can just go jump in the ocean.
Yeah, distance is an illusion.
So, Dr. Future, you're content to just leave your body home and do all your exploring with your robots?
No, I'm not saying that.
I thought that's what you were saying.
Robots are an extension of your nervous system. They're not separate from you. They're eventually imbued with biocybernetic organisms. They'll be biology. The biology will be part of it. It's not separate. AI and biology.
Well, you say that, but did those robots know that?
They know this. They do. I trust me. This already has happened. It's not like I'm making this up. I mean, you can't make this
stuff
up.
Give me an example.
Okay. I'm trying hard. This is real primitive times
here.
These are the dark ages. There's hardly any living creatures that are biocybernetic. Sphero, the BB-8 robot in the new Star Wars movie.
Okay, so you think Sphero is an extension of your nervous system?
Yeah, he's beginning to get there. He's beginning more biological. He's rolling. He's moving around. His biology doesn't roll, but
biology rules. Roly polies definitely roll.
But you know what I mean. It's becoming more human in some way. We're anthropomorphizing it. It's bio and it's cybernetic at the same time. It's not separate. It's an integration of those two worlds into something beyond both.
Well, okay. I would say maybe you could even extend it to the idea of just like driving your car.
It's a hybrid.
Right? or driving the Elio, right? We've got that article about the auto cycle today,
yes.
Like the Elio. To me, this is a gas-saving vehicle that is a cross between a car and
right,
a motorcycle.
It's like a motorcycle-car hybrid.
They've got a steering wheel and a little chassis like a car, so it's super safe in case you're in an accident. But it's got the engine and the mobility and the gas efficiency of a motorcycle. I've always thought that when we're driving around in cars, you know, we're like the brains inside of an exoskeleton.
Right? Yes, cars are a fine example of an extension of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that will continue to evolve. When we were in Europe last year, there was a car that massaged you as you drove. It massaged you.
I bet you wanted to drive that car home, right? Just stay on the ferry
It was a French car, I believe. I think it was a Peugeot. Yeah, no, it was closer to being a biocybernetic organism. It was. Because it was tuning into your body, and it, you know, when you start to... Who couldn't pay more attention to your body than your chair?
Your wife?
Well, she does, and she's better at it. She should be program your chair, actually. Who's there for you 24/7?
Not compare me to a chair, Dr. Future.
Your chair is there for you all the time.
You're about to go to the doghouse.
As much as I love my wife, she can only be there so much for me. My chair fills in the gaps.
All right, folks, good thing we have to go to a break right now. Dr. Future and I are going to have a little chat.
We have some guests coming on. Well, I guess I better take her somewhere special for Valentine's Day.
I guess you better.
Better than the doghouse.
All right, folks. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, San Jose, Monterey, Bay Area, wherever you are. Thanks for listening. We'll be back after this break with the second hour of the Dr. Future Show and a little bit about what is erotic.